Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. It's me, Jackie Cation. DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com. If you enjoy a determiner, let's talk about the credits. The song written, composed, and sang by Mike Rickberg with his wife now. She wasn't when we first started 19 years ago, Sarah Cohen. That's right. Patrick Brady is doing all the tech. He does the audio and the video, and he puts it all together, and he's awesome. Vilmos is doing JackieCationStore.com, and thank you very much, Vilmos. The rest of it's on Squarespace, including DorkForest.com and TheDorkForest.com, which I just integrated into JackieCation.com. Also there, merch. There's Dork Forest t-shirts. There's all my stand-up merch, a new t-shirt and beanies, and also CDs and DVDs. If you own those devices, feel free to empty my garage. You knock yourselves out. You can see videos of different stand-up shows that I've done on the television, and you can watch a couple of my specials. Always fun. I have another podcast, The Jackie and Laurie Show, just about stand-up, but The Dork Forest is the flagship. 19th year, we're doing it. You can go to my Bandcamp. You can go to YouTube, where the videos of The Dork Forest are all hanging out, and there's a bunch of stand-up stuff as well. It is November or December of 2024, so I ask that you do not donate to the Dork Forest in these 2 months. Instead, you find a food bank in your town near to you and help out somebody in November and December. You can use feedingamerica.org, or you can Google the words food bank and your zip code, and a food bank will come up. I'm sure there's other things that I should be talking about. Come and see me do stand-up in November and December. Holy smokes, I'm everywhere. And JackieCation.com has all those tour dates. But who's going to dork out? Let's find out now. It's me, Jackie Cation. Hello, Rangers of the Dork Forest, and welcome to another episode of the Dork Forest. With me, stand-up comic, one of my faves, quite honestly, Alan Strickland Williams, hilarious stand-up comic. There's an AlanStricklandWilliams.com. Alan is with an E, not an A, A-L-L-E-N. And he has a new CD out that is out on Blonde Medicine, coming out on vinyl soon. It's available to purchase or stream. Feel free to purchase, because 10 bucks is 10 bucks. It's called Ran Through. So that'll also be in the notes. And welcome to the show, Alan.
Jackie, thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here in Dork Forest.
Super fun. And but I got your list of things that you like to dork out about, and I was like, oh yeah, yeah, he's gonna fit right in. It's the first one. Hang on, let me yell at my dog. There we go. I'm back. I turned it off the mic so that no one else had to hear me say Tyson hush. And now you've glimpsed it. It's available. You can read lips on YouTube, you guys. They Might Be Giants, a band. I've heard that band, and they, I know about that song, the Constantinople Institute.
Okay.
Song.
Okay. I was wondering, when you said earlier that you had one song, there's basically like two or three options of what that one song could be. And I think I have
one of their albums. I don't know which one. How many albums do they have?
They have an egregious amount of albums.
Oh, it's right. Because they have like kids too, right?
They did like a double. It was so funny when I was thinking of what to talk about, and I was like, well, I guess I know, I guess, because I've been listening to them since, you know, the late 90s when I was a kid before they did the kid stuff.
Right.
But they kind of always had this dual appealing to children, but incredibly adult, not your mainstream adult themes, but like you're sort of like out the way.
Sciencey,
paranoia. Things about like betrayal.
Really? Wait a minute.
On like a Greek scale. Like
okay. Are they a Greek chorus to our lives?
Exactly. That's what I've always, that's how it's funny because I was going through and I was like, oh, I don't even have that many actual vinyl albums of Dave Harry Giant. So I'm like, I'm looking at like, I think 8 right here. I'm like, okay, I guess that is a lot. But they have, I think they've probably ventured past 20 albums at this point of like original music.
Wow.
People
are in it. Like, who's in it?
So the core of the band is John Linnell and John Flansburgh. And so that's the band started. And for the first couple of albums, it was those two in Brooklyn with a drum machine. And they would play maybe guitar, maybe accordion, keyboard, synth, like very, you know, they were always kind of messing around with weirder instruments, whatever you want to say. And then when it gets to maybe the mid 90s or so, they get a band. And they get a band of like maybe a 3-piece that supports them. But that has even evolved now to this point where I just saw them on this recent tour a couple of times and they have themselves, they have this additional band, and they have a horn section. Which I think a horn section in almost any situation is like amazing. But it definitely is added to the entire, like the live show specifically.
Okay. There was some glitch in my internet. And so if anybody's watching this and saw me panic, it's just me that went away and I came back. I think it's fine. Still looks like it's recording. So, they finally got a full band.
Yeah.
And
I would imagine that's still like 95% of the, like creative input is those two guys.
Yeah.
But I do know, for instance, that they just shouted out, they just released an album called Beast of Horns, which is songs from their live shows that they've been doing recently that have the horn section. And like they shouted out that maybe the saxophonist has arranged like some of the songs and stuff. And I know that some of the other band members will come forward and be the vocalist to sing on tracks here and there. But I wonder if the album that you have is Flood, because that's what
I think it is. Flood.
That's what Istanbul Constantinople is on. And that's also what Birdhouse in Your Soul is on, which is probably their biggest.
And that makes sense because it's from 1990.
1990. Yeah.
And that was one of those summer albums because they're kind of a summer band, right? Like you could just kind of sit around and just, or I could.
It's funny that you say that because I had a summer. There's this one album here. We can bounce around. Let me think. I think this might have been 2004. 2004. This is They Might Be Giants, The Spine.
Okay.
And this came out the summer before I went to college. And so this was my album of that summer, like without a doubt. I listen, and there's a lot of songs on here that I think have a more upbeat a vibe to them. Like It's Kicking In and Experimental Film, Damn Good Times. A lot of their stuff, I would say, can definitely veer into like gloomy, dreary. Like I think they both grew up in Massachusetts. They both started playing in Brooklyn. So there's definitely this feel of like, I listen to them a lot once it starts to get cold and dreary. I listen to them a lot, like because they have a lot of songs that deal with.
Oh, no worries. Got a cough.
I'm getting over a little bit of a cold. It's the one souvenir I brought back from my trip. I was just over in the United Kingdom, so even over there, I listen to a lot because a lot of their songs are sort of written from the vantage point. I can imagine they've been written like while the rain is falling on a gray day in a major city.
Sure.
But yeah.
Are they, is it, I used to listen to Harry, they're not anything. They can't possibly. I mean, if the one album I own is Flood, and it's just sort of like they don't seem that sad. Like sometimes they seem real like they just go off on a weird tangent about the history of like the tiniest thing or the like an examination of a very small moment or something. Is that what are your favorite Like, what are good examples of different kinds of genres of songs that they do tend to write to?
So they do a lot of happy sad. So like it'll be like a very upbeat song in major keys, which is like for the human brain, that sounds triumphant. This sounds confident. This sounds good. This is great. But then the lyrics to the song will be about like, I have an evil twin and the evil twin is murdering all my friends and ruining my life. But really the reveal at the end is that, well, he is his own evil twin.
He's his own grandpa. Yeah. Okay.
So that's Evil Twin. I forget off the top of my head which album that's on. Let me just like Experimental Film is a very, very like that's the first track on the spine. It's a very upbeat song about like, hey, you're going to be in my experimental film and we're making this movie. But then the experimental film is kind of all about like, bad stuff or like his life falling apart. Memo to Human Resources is a really fun song on this album because it's like, it's about being up on a ledge, but then the people came to talk and they talked me down and we're having a good time because the people are talking to me. Like it's stuff like, it's like these sort of like odd, maybe challenging, maybe what you wouldn't think of as entertaining or absurd or funny moments, but couching them in a way where you're like, oh yeah, it is funny. There's a great song of theirs. I wonder, is it on Lincoln? Where Your Eyes Don't Go? Yes, Where Your Eyes Don't Go is a song on Lincoln that is this like, Lincoln, we can show it to right. the nice
there's
people.
A, yes, there you go. That's that one.
There's a song called Where Your Eyes Don't Go that is this like, recursive circular song about like where your eyes don't go, a part of you is hovering, and it's about like the eyes in the back of your head and what they see, and like there's just a lot of it's like very complex stuff that it's funny like on first listen you don't really it maybe doesn't even register, you're kind of like, oh, that was kind of a good tune or a good melody, and then you dig deeper and you're like, oh my god, what is wrong with these people?
Right I love the idea of the fact that, you know, and it's especially, I mean, music is like, I don't read a lot of poetry.
Okay.
So when you start getting into the lyrics of different music, you're just like, oh, this is the poetry.
100%.
This is also poetry, right? This is 100%. Also. Yeah. And so I think, especially with these guys, because they might, I mean, those three examples alone were ridiculous, awesome, just sort of dives into like real psyche. It sounds like they're talking about real issues or real sort of brainwormy kind of stuff that need to be addressed.
And the most sort of obtuse, coming at it from a weird angle, packaged in a weird way, presented in a strange genre of music. Another example of that specifically that I was just listening to walking around is called... is that on Lincoln too? Purple Toupee. So Purple Toupee was their kind of answer to Raspberry Beret.
Okay.
But it's also a song basically about, you know, they were probably in their 30s in the 80s. They probably came of age around the 60s. So it's like a child connecting all these things from the 60s and putting them together. So it's like, I heard about some lady named Selma instead of the city of Selma, like,
right.
Talk something about like someone put their finger in the president's ear. They pulled out Johnson's wax. Like,
okay.
I remember the book Depository where they crowned the king of Cuba, like mixing up all these big, big things that happened in the 60s into one sort of like kind of Prince-esque song.
Okay.
They did a lot of stuff like that. And then that kind of is like, you know, the eventual like real manifestation of that type of thinking that they had, or that type of not just thinking, but creativity and execution. Like then it comes to the fact that like they're doing an entire children's album, or they're doing an entire album that is about specifically scientific themes. Whereas maybe just here and there, they'd like drop a song about how, you know, the different classifications of mammals and are dead, the dead branches of the, what do you call it? The family tree of like monotremes or whatever they're called, Alitheria, something like that. I'm just pulling from the song, but yeah, it's like that. And that, like, cause it's always kind of like, that was another thing too. I was like, oh, I think this was a good, I bet a lot of people in the Dork Forest have at least a, if not a burning incendiary relationship with They Might Be Giants, at least at some point they've stopped at the They Might Be Giants station.
Oh, I think so. I think so. I mean, and the fact that they're still writing and creating and touring is...
And doing a great job too, still, like top of their game.
So started in 86. The album I have is from 90. Mm-hmm. And I think I bought it on CD as well. So I think I have it. I know I don't have it on. I mean, I think I had it on vinyl.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Who knew vinyl was coming back?
Right,
so
I got rid
of my clothes and play, and I got rid of all of my records, and I called it a day. And but I will say that the fact that they're probably my age, you know, like they're probably to mix up sort of that historical stuff with just like the Johnson's Wax and the Cuban Missile Crisis and all of these things. You're like, you know, I heard about them when I was a small child, but I was a small child. So it's not like I got any actual information and I could write a report about the missile crisis.
And it would be a lot for an adult to parse apart at that time too. It's like everything was so heady and a lot of stuff was changing.
It definitely
gets that feeling to you across in the song. That's definitely a good one to check out.
Right. And now there's another song. Is it them that did the Molecule song? Is it Molecules or Atoms or?
I don't know. Off the top of my head about that.
Okay. So what did you, I remember really being into them and then heard that they went to children's music. And I was like, oh, well, I guess it's over. And of course it wasn't, because they were doing children's music, but were they performing? Do you know where they were? What they would do.
And I don't think they basically do kids shows anymore. I mean, so basically what happened was they had children. And then
that's what happened. Of course they did.
So they were basically just like, you know, they were there. I think in the interviews at the time, which is a very like They Might Be Giants answer to why did you guys do a children's music, is because like, well, now we have to listen to children's music and it all sucks. And so we would like to put some good children's music out into the world, which I think is a very noble endeavor. Mm-hmm. And like I said, too, it's like, you know, I think a lot of ways a lot of people came into them. For me, I was exposed to them through, I was a very cool young child. And I, the music I listened to was pretty much exclusively what you would hear on Dr. Demento. I was into like novelty music. I lived in a cartoon world of sorts, I think.
Henry Phillips told me that he talks to Dr. Demento regularly.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cool.
Right.
Oh,
I need to bug
Henry about that next time I see him.
That Dr. Demento was A, still alive.
Right.
And B, that he was someone you could meet.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's...
Oh, and of course, Henry would be perfect for that. I mean, Henry's songs are so good.
Right. So, but you're so much... I don't know when Dr. Demento went off the air.
So Dr. Demento's purely I knew about because there are these anniversary collections that he had that I would listen to. And then They Might Be Giants were also featured incredibly heavily. And I would imagine this is... For like people my age, the number one way that they got into them was three of their songs, or maybe just two, were put on Tiny Toons in like this one episode that was like music videos for some reason.
Right.
And it was like Istanbul, Not Constantinople.
Sure.
And Birdhouse in Your Soul. And maybe another one that's not coming to me, maybe she was a hotel detective. I would have to look it up. I don't remember. But that definitely was where I was like, oh, wait, those are those guys. And that was sort of like the second iteration. And then I had a friend in my neighborhood who also like we used to play. I wonder if anyone's ever done an episode with you about the old LucasArts adventure point and click graphic adventure games. Oh, my God.
No?
They're incredible.
No. Oh, okay.
It's like, yeah, incredible. It was like a lot of that like Monkey Island, Indiana Jones. There's an Indiana Jones one, Day of the Tentacle. It's like these fun, like where like the only options are really like to walk around and then it's like push, pull, use, whatever.
Okay.
And you do kind of like an adventure or whatever.
So it isn't a text-based game. It's an actual interactive point and click game, but
yes.
But you have
built
a drop
upon.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah. built upon those old gray, just sort of like, you know, when you're really just using your imagination to imagine the, when you're using your imagination to imagine great right. Simmons. But we would play these games together and listen to this music. And then he was the one who actually like, he was like, oh, I actually have one of their albums. Why don't you listen to it? And I took it, I think, on a cruise when I was in like third or fourth grade, I forget. And that's when I kind of like really fell in love with it, because I hated the cruise. I didn't want to do any of the cruise stuff. I wanted to just be alone or whatever. Maybe I was a little older, because it was when I really wanted to be alone. I feel like that comes right. later.
That sounds about 13-ish.
Yeah. Something like that. But yeah. but whatever it was, I remember just being like, oh, I love this band. Like, I love yeah. this band. And I've come in and out of it too. And I do remember with the kids stuff, I was like, oh, well, whatever. I guess, you know, I'm grown up. But then The Spine came out after that. And then they actually played, like the first week I was at college, they played. And I was like, oh man, I still love these guys. And like, this is yeah. great. So I've like come in and out, but like, I've seen them so many times live. And like I said, I was like, oh, I don't even have that many records. And I'm like, oh my God, I have like 9 right here.
Right.
it's been one of my longest relationships, to be perfectly honest.
That's great. I wonder about Tiny Toons though, because I think I tried to watch Tiny Toons. But I thought it was like, I think I was mad that they had canceled Animaniacs.
Oh, sure. And, I mean, Animaniacs was so good.
Animaniacs was just incredible. And I think Tiny Toons was just sort of a more kiddly version of Animaniacs. And Animaniacs wasn't broken. But you know I did what? Like you know, Tiny Toons, though.
You know what? Tiny Toons was more corporate. I think
yeah, man.
Tiny Toons yeah, is a man. Little bit more corporate, because they had all the ties to the, like, I loved the mythology of the Animaniacs. And I also loved the other music that I listened to probably at that age, if not more than They Might Be Giants, at least as much, was the music from Animaniacs. And I drove my family nutso with that music, going to on like, we would do like not super long, but like 2-3 hour car rides. And like, yep. I whenever it was my turn, it was like, we're always listening to the Animaniacs.
Right. But I could never memorize them, because they were always just jam packed with
so fast.
I would just, they were so fast. And I would just like come in with an occasional word. And, you know, I loved the Animaniacs so bad. And I don't think it must be on Disney, right? Disney Plus or something?
It would probably be on Hulu. Yeah.
Or it might be on Hulu.
Or is Hulu just part of, I forget. I think that they bundled. Did. they did a reboot, or they did some new
yes,
episodes
they did.
Fairly
it did
recently.
Not,
I think that was on Hulu.
Yes, it was not great.
No, it didn't capture the magic.
Yeah, it's hard to I mean, it can be done. You just have to reimagine it, and you might have to commit to watching several of them to just sort of get back into what can be a new rhythm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like my mother-in-law watched all of The Conners, which was the reboot of Roseanne.
Right. Yes.
And then
yes,
Roseanne
right.
went Banana Land. And so right. it was rebranded as The Conners. And it, by the second, I mean, and I was just walking through the living room for hundreds of episodes of this, because I think it was 5 seasons. And I was like, by the 13th or 16th or 20th episode, I was like, no, this has the same vibe as Roseanne. They kind of got back. They got their rhythm back. But it was still the saddest show in the world. Roseanne as well. So, like, whenever anybody was introduced to that family, they somehow became poorer and less... There was less justice in their lives.
A reverse like Midas situation.
Yeah, it was really amazing. It was just like, oh, you're screwed. You've just been sucked into this sort of poverty level existence that the Conners are living. That's sad.
That's so funny.
But you seem to be having a good time anyway, because you're a family.
Yeah, there
anyway,
you go.
Anyway, it's a lot. My ad. I'm about to do an ad. Rangers, this is an ad for the Masterclass streaming app. Program, possibilities. You gotta love that. I like Masterclass. Masterclass is a streaming platform, and you get to learn on that streaming platform by taking essentially classes with people who are really good at what they do. For example, the RuPaul episode was hilarious and awesome because RuPaul is fabulous. And I want to watch RuPaul do whatever RuPaul would like to do. And I learned how to have pretty hands. And so that was super fun for me. But there's all kinds. There's over 200. There's over 200 classes that you can watch, listen to, streaming, obviously, on any platform. And it makes an excellent gift. I may give it to my sister, Darla, who may or may not be listening to this. But she, you know, it's just fun. It's a gift that it's always on time, and it will last a lifetime, and you can't do better than Masterclass. It's the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 of the world's best. That's why Wirecutter called it an invaluable gift, and it's the gift of unlimited learning because you can watch them over and over again. Learn from any Masterclass instructor anywhere on your smartphone, computer, TV, even in audio mode, which is great, and RuPaul's super fun. You could do Noam Chomsky or Bill Nye, and that's exciting. They make a difference, is what I'm saying. 88% of members feel that Masterclass made a positive impact on their lives. So I feel a positive impact of learning how to put my hands nice and make them look pretty. And there's no risk. Every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So give your loved ones a year of learning with Masterclass. How do you do that? You go to masterclass.com/dork, D-O-R-K, for the current offer. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays and sometimes as much as 50% off. So that's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/dork. Masterclass.com/dork. Let's get back into the show. Where have you seen them? How many? You said you've seen them a lot of times.
I've seen them a lot. I saw them. They were the first concert I went to, like, on my own. And okay. It was, oh, damn it. I meant to look up the actual timing and stuff in the set list, but I forgot to do it. But basically, I turned 16. I got my actual driver's license, not my learner's permit. And I went to, I lived outside of Jacksonville. It was in town. I think it was at a place called Murray Hill. Okay. Where it was like a place that, like, there's like one cool part of Jacksonville. It's called Five Points, and there's like a theater called Murray Hill.
Okay.
I think it was there. It was where
that,
like,
might be where I'm opening for Maria Bamford in Jacksonville, Florida.
In Jacksonville, Florida. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. That's the good part of town. That's the nice part.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That'll be perfect.
I'll tell my maybe I'll get my uncle to go out and support.
Have him watch some videos. Okay.
Yeah, so. Of course. Oh, he's a weirdo. He's
the reason
why.
And he will love the Jackie Maria Maria Bamford show.
But yeah, so there was, I think I saw them maybe twice there, which was a real thrill because that's a place where, like, normally your friend's Christian band would perform. Right. So it was like a real band was performing at this place mm-hmm. you go. And then I saw them in Ithaca a couple times because they played on the quad, and then they played at there's this place called the State Theater in Ithaca, New York, which is one of the most beautiful, like, old school theaters that still exists in those, like, sort of old, you know.
Did you go to Cornell or did you go to SUNY?
I went to Cornell up there. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I think technically I went to a SUNY school at Cornell, but I was an Aggie, but I saw them there a couple of times, and then them in New York. I think I went in one time to the city to see them there. Then I've seen them a ton out here. I couldn't name all the different places. A ton out here in San Diego, and then I just saw them. I saw them at the Bowl. They opened for Sparks, which was awesome. Seeing them at the Bowl was incredible.
That's kind of perfect.
John Flansburgh had some great line where he was like, until this moment, this has only been an exit on the 101 for us. So that was really funny. But, and then I just saw them, and I kind of used them as an excuse to finally go across the pond and go to the United Kingdom. I saw them in London, and then not the United Kingdom, but I saw them in Dublin as well.
Oh, wow.
And they put on some great shows. They still got it. It's funny because to speak about, like, the band, a little bit, like, there's John Linnell and there's Sean Flansburgh. They met in high school. John Linnell is the more, maybe you'd say, reserved guy. He seems a little bit more naturally introverted, a little shyer. He's, I would say, less physical on stage as well. He kind of typically does the keys, maybe puts on the accordion. I think he also plays like, what's it called? Like a baritone sax, or he plays some weird sax instrument. John Flansburgh is the guy who's like selling the band, and he's out there, and he's like, you know, and they both write a ton of songs.
Okay.
He's the face of the band. He's the guy that's like, and at the shows, he's really giving it all. And it's so funny because when you've listened to something or you watch something or you read something so long, the same group of characters or band members, whatever you want to say, themes, whatever. It's so funny how they change to you over time. Like I remember when I was a kid and I was a Shire kid and stuff, I was like, I like the guy that obviously sits in his room all day and writes these brilliant melodies and then comes out and like just delivers them in a way where like it almost looks like he doesn't want to be there and then he goes home. I love that. Now as I'm older and I've like been in show business for like more than 2 years, I'm like, you know who I really respect? The guy who goes out there and gives a damn show every time and is still pushing this thing that he like came up with forever ago. So that's been actually very, very interesting to see. And kind of, I think it was some point in this last year at one of these last shows, I was like, oh, wow, maybe I'm now a Flansburgh guy, because it's kind of like comes down to these two things.
Right.
But yeah, anyway, not to go
that's
on a tear
awesome.
There. But
that's perfect. That's exactly what we're looking for. Here in the Dork Forest, we want to hear about the minutiae. Here's the last, the They Might Be Giants did the only cruise ship I've ever done or been on.
Oh, did you do the JoCo thing?
Yeah.
How was that?
But not the year that they were on. And I think that they came back again. But I did it 2 years in a row, probably 6-7 years ago.
Okay.
And it is the greatest cruise in the world.
Okay.
The JoCo cruise? Yeah.
That's good to hear, because it's so funny. I have these visions of embarking on it. And I think they did it again this year. And it seems like one of those things that they do every, you know, so often.
Yeah. Every couple of years, if they can get them, they'll definitely do it. And you end up like seeing them just wandering around the famous people that are there. And the first year they had like the whole like dining room like when it wasn't dinner, before and after, was just a board game deck.
Oh, great. Oh, that's
my husband's a game designer.
Sure.
So that first year he spent something like 12-13 hours a day just in that deck, just playing board games and play testing and running games and doing stuff. And then the second year he was like, I'm going to keep it to like 6 hours a day.
Because I'd
like to see the rest of it. But there's like Amy Mann always goes.
Right. Right.
Cause it's Jonathan Colton and Amy Mann. And then they have their regular suspects. And then they have sort of famous comic book and science fiction writers like N.K. Jemisin was there the first year that I went, and she wrote the Broken Earth trilogy, which got the Hugo 3 years in a row. And she's also Kamau Bell's cousin.
Okay.
Which is crazy. And but I was in an elevator with her, and it was just weird. But it's a boat, of course, and it only has 1,700 people.
Yeah, you're literally stuck.
Yeah. So I tried not to be too big of a weirdo. And because I'm a fan. So I just said, are you N.K. Jemisin? And she said, Naomi. And then there was silence. And then I said, I enjoy your work a great deal. And she said, great. And then the door opened and she was allowed to live her life.
There you go.
What I'm saying is that you may end up like meeting They Might Be Giants.
Well,
if you can get booked on it, I recommend you do.
I've seen them a couple times. Here's one that just jumps out because of the story. I saw them at the Lincoln Center. They did, and I cannot even tell you why. They had something they were doing specifically that was a little bit more elevated, which is why they're performing at the Lincoln Center. But I went with a friend at the time, and we were like the perfect age. We were like, probably first year of college. We were like, let's try to meet them. Like, let's try. Like, we didn't understand how annoying that was. We didn't understand anything. We're in the big city from out of town and blah, blah, blah.
Give it a shot.
And we saw the show and and it was kind of intimate. It was like intimate enough. We're like, I bet we could open the right door in here and find out. And sure enough, we just kind of walked around and we heard some noise and we just slipped in. And like, I think maybe we like kind of like just, we're like, let's just be here for a minute to make it look like we belong here. And then they actually were doing the rounds and talked to us. And you know what? Looking back now, I'm like, oh, I bet it was like people that belonged to the center that made
the VIP, like that, the meet and greet.
They must have been. Yes, this must have been what it was. And then they're like, so what do you do here? And we're like, we just snuck in. And like John Flanger starts laughing. He goes, that's awesome. and he was like, you guys do enjoy the show, blah, blah. And we talked about being fans for a long time and stuff like that. And then they was like, all right, now respectfully, get the fuck out of here.
So that was
and we were like, fair enough. Thank you so much. And
that was like a beautiful experience.
Kind of a thrill, to be perfectly honest.
That's so great that worked.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the first time I went to New York City, I've never been to the top of the Empire State Building. I didn't have $35 when I was 19. Now I don't want to spend $45 whatever it is. And so what I did was I just took an elevator to the highest part of the Empire State Building that I could.
That it would go? Yeah.
And then I was just wandering around the different offices. And some janitor guy came up to me and he said, and this is 1984, I think. And he goes, what are you doing? What are you looking for? And I said, a window? And he goes, yeah, it's going to cost you $15-$20. Get downstairs.
No free looks.
No free looks. No free looks. We built this thing with a deck.
That is funny though. Back then, it's like you at least could do that. Now you couldn't even do that. Now you wouldn't even be able to get on the elevator.
No, there's probably some sort of like a paywall.
Exactly.
Like some sort of card situation to get past the initial to the elevator banks. Yeah, I bet you're right. Oh, that makes an excellent point. All right. Okay. So that is a great story about them. Is there, I don't know. What other, they might be Giants nuggets because
we could talk about. So the other sort of entry points for them are, which might spur something. They do a lot of music. They do a lot of theme song music and like, they have a great they have something called the Instant Fan Club, where actually you're not supposed to talk about it. You're supposed to say, oh, I think you must be thinking of some other band. That's like the joke. But so I just breached protocol, I guess. They have this.
You guys, let's talk about Fight Club. Go.
Yeah. they got this great and it's like every week they give you like a little snippet of like maybe it's a demo of a song or like a version of it that they just released one that was they did music for radio ads for Coke back in like the 90s. And it's just the trippiest, like funk, like goofiest, like Coke ad. And I don't think it was Coke as it. It was like, gotta try it. It was like one of their like sort of the ones that didn't really stick in the 90s or something. So that's kind of trippy. So they give you a lot of like little pieces like that. But they did the music, the original music. I think it's still the theme song for The Daily Show. I think that the da 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 da. Yeah, that's them. They did that, and
that's amazing.
They
are they from here, Los Angeles?
They're from Brooklyn. I mean, they started in Brooklyn. At least I think they're both from something like
high school together, right?
Brookline, Massachusetts, somewhere in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay,
yeah, yeah. And then they both just moved to Brooklyn. They've been a stalwart. I think now, though, I think Flansburgh moved like to the Hudson Valley. I like know his exact address. I'm like, no.
you guys, coordinates.
I think he might technically no longer be in Brooklyn. I can't speak for Linnell. He's definitely the more reclusive one. You wouldn't really know anyway. But they still, I think, have a very East Coast.
An East Coast vibe as opposed to, because it's always interesting to me when bands start popping up on like episodes of Charmed or, you know, or they're doing ads for soda or and it's not just the cannibal. The corporation didn't just say, you know what we want? A Bob Dylan song, man. And it's, they distinctly write to it mm-hmm. and it's a cash cow. There's no reason not to do it. Which one?
I think they're like in the ad world, they call them Sound Alikes.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because I remember there was a big deal when like Chili's had one for this very obscure band of Montreal. And then of Montreal, like, I think got some money because they sued Chili's. And like the judge was like, yeah, you clearly just wanted to make this song, but you didn't want to pay them to use it or something like that. Yeah.
So you have to pay them. Yeah. It's I Have a Montreal. Is that the name of the band? Because I have a there is a band called Montreal. And I have one of their albums. Albums.
Yeah, they're another band too. They have a ton of albums. So that's a great band too.
I have I like to have one album of almost every band.
There you
go. A lot of bands that nobody that everyone's like, no, I'm a huge fan of that. You just have the one? I'm like, for some reason, just the one. I have one 50 Cent album. I have one Common album.
It's interesting though, because some of these artists, the size of their catalog is kind of a thing where you go, well, I guess I'm just never going to break it because it's so, I've heard that a lot with They Might Be Giants specifically. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'm really glad that I got in on it when I was younger and less jaded by, not that that's a jaded thing to say, but.
Or just intimidated by how much stuff, like, because sometimes with music fans, they want to be completists. And so,
I'm just like that in general. Yeah. So I get it.
Okay.
So
I get it. I'm very lucky in the fact that I'm not. I don't. Yeah. But what I do find kind of fascinating is because they came up in the 80s, because a lot of the, I've been working on a bit, whatever, whether it'll ever be a bit, but it's just because it makes like the lyrics of pop music right now are some of the funniest jokes I've ever heard in my life.
Yes. Yes.
Just some angry 23-year-old woman just literally laying it down. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, what did you just tell him? And just like just this amazing stuff. And the like, Sonic, whatever, super, people are yelling at their phones. they did a, it's a duo, very famous. He did the moped song. Yeah, whatever. Very famous. But there's Fly Like Me, 777, okay. Skate, whatever. They're pop songs. They're.
You're not talking about Steal My Sunshine, are you?
No, I'm not. Sadly,
that's what I always associate with mopeds.
Oh, what? Who's that? What's Steal My Sunshine?
Steal My Sunshine was like a '90s MTV Top 40. Like, I think they were Canadian brother and sister, and it was like Steal My Sunshine. But the music video is just like friends on little like mopeds, like just cruising around town.
Oh,
that's very.
This one is newer than that, and it is. The hell's the?
We're holding space. We're holding space for this song. And that's good.
It's so good, you guys. You know that I don't know anything. Yeah, Bruno Mars. The Sonic. Sonic. Silk Sonic.
I know what you're talking about. That's a fun song. That's good.
Yeah. So that album, I own Silk Sonic.
Okay.
And he's got a song that's Fly Like Me. Mm-hmm. And there's some line about it is if you want to get high, I have the haze. And if you're feeling hungry, I have fillets. But the first time I heard it, I thought he said, I have the Lays.
I was just about to say, oh, it's got to be Lays, right?
Right.
That's what I reach for.
But it turns out he's fancier than that. Yeah, and he's got filet mignon. But, But I remember They Might Be Giants liking the lyrics so much back in the late 80s and the early 90s and thinking that they, because a lot of the songs, a lot of the pop songs anyway, were kind of creepy. Like,
yes,
they were just, there was a lot of, it was not Billy Joel. Like, and I really liked Billy Joel and I really liked Harry Chapin.
I'll stand by Billy Joel.
Yeah. And yeah, Billy Joel and Harry Chapin, if you live in New York, you hear Billy Joel too much.
Mm-hmm,
so
sure.
You're going to end up hating Billy Joel because you're just like, no.
It's like Jerry Buffett in Florida.
Yes. You're just like, yep. I can't, there's too much. And this song is going to kill me. And especially because they play the same 19 songs out of the hundreds and hundreds of Billy Joel songs that there are. But I was just listening to like a 70s folk, because I like James Taylor. Uh-huh. And I did a Dork Forest not long ago about Joni Mitchell, and I didn't know anything about Joni Mitchell.
Uh-huh.
And so her music is lovely. And there were a couple of hits that I had not known that I knew, but of course okay. I know them.
Yep.
As Dwayne Kennedy said to me about Jay-Z and Beyonce, because I was like, I don't know that I've ever heard their music. And he said, have you been to a gas station, Jay?
Yeah.
Have you been to a grocery store?
Have you been brought up on stage?
right. Exactly. And I was like, oh, right. So, but some of the lyrics, there's a bunch of like I think I was listening to Pandora. I don't have the coolest, I don't have Spotify. I'm listening uh-huh. to Amazon Music because it's part of my Prime membership.
There you go. Yeah.
And Pandora because I do Pandora ads. And because mm-hmm. This demographic listens to Pandora.
Great.
And please come out and see my live shows. So, and on Pandora, you can just type in sort of a genre.
Right. Oh, I love Pandora.
Yeah. And so I did 70s folk songs and they went acoustic, and it was CCR, it was Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And was it them? Whatever the song was, I think it was called Wild Child or something. And it was about meeting this girl when she was a girl. And then now she's a woman and it's very controlling. And you're just like, no, that was a child. What's happening? Someone call social services. And so what I liked about They Might Be Giants was that the topics were super nerdy.
Yes.
But they were also, when they weren't nerdy, were just talking about life.
Yes.
It wasn't ever some sort of intrusive thought.
No, there's never anything that would be, it's so funny because it's like, I would say that there are things in there that would be like described as like stuff you'd see in like a Pulp Fiction movie or something, like not the movie Pulp Fiction, but like old Pulp Fiction type stuff. Pulpy,
kind of like Sam Spade.
Never anything that seems nefarious or even really wrong. Like, right. Just all, like, and they've got some great, actually, like, sort of down the middle, like, love songs or like,
oh yeah,
breaking heart. Yeah, there's a song called "I've Got a Match" that's really good. There, oh, what's the one on? Hold on, there's one called. This is also just a great visual for the. This is Apollo 18, which I think was right after.
Oh wow!
Blood. But look at that! Isn't that a great? Yeah. Great album. They have a song in here called. See the Constellation, which is good, but Narrow Your Eyes. Narrow Your Eyes is such a beautiful, beautiful, just sort of like maybe the end of a relationship song. They've got some, like, that's the thing about them that's really great is that they can tap into that totally down the middle, like straightforward, like we can write a real, like, you know, hit song, a real yeah. like, tight song, but it's also more fun to do the sort of the other stuff and to couch these things in that, to couch a normal thing in a weird thing or to couch a weird thing in a normal thing, I think is more interesting. I think that it's also nice too, because it encourages relisting in a way that a lot of songs like, okay, I like this song because the hook is so cool. The guitar is like crunch, crunch. I love that. But then you listen to the lyrics and it's like, yeah, she was a girl and she's my girl. It's like, okay, great. She's your girl. But like, right. you know, there's not really anything there. This
right, there
is
wasn't
like the lyrics
there.
Give you a little bit more. Yeah. It's like, there's always something, another layer. This album specifically, this is something that's fun to talk about. Sorry, I forgot to mute at that time.
Oh, that's good.
This album has a song called Fingertips, and it kind of worked best. They wrote it. One thing that's interesting about They Might Be Giants that also speaks to me that's very Dork Forest is like they're always just kind of doing something weird. Like they were one of the first bands to do e-music, to sell an album online like as tracks. Like they're, if not the first one, they were probably the first one where the music was actually good.
Right.
But they also on Apollo 18, when this was right when this is from 1992, so CDs were kind of like actually like around then.
Yeah.
The shuffle feature just came out on stereos. So okay. like it would just like it play the tracks out of order. So they have something on here called Fingertips, which is, I want to say there's 18 or 19, like the longest one is maybe 27 seconds or 30 seconds, or maybe they go along with that. But most of them are like 5 to 7 to 9 seconds long of just all over the place. And you're supposed to, they encourage you to listen to the album on shuffle so okay. that in between the real songs, you would get, you know, like a little crazy one. And so, but I didn't know that. I came into it listening to it on a CD, but not understanding that part of it. So I was just like, wow, they just did 23 crazy little songs in a row.
Right.
Which to me, like also like, I mean, that also foretells like, or I don't know if that's the right word, but like, it's kind of like Twitter, like it's kind of like these very attention span stuff, which like I'm very, Vine 100%. So yeah, stuff like that. I mean, like that's one thing about it. It's like, it is intimidating, but I do just feel like there's always something else to discover. And then it's funny too. It's like, they do the thing that a lot of bands have been doing recently that I've noticed, which is like, we're just going to play this album. And like, of course they play more than just that album, but like they use that. And so they've been doing that for Flood recently. And
that's kind of cool that, well, they're the live concert will be like, we're going to play this. And do they play it in order?
They don't play it in order, but they play it. They play everything. And like, and that's interesting too, because there's one song, like, here's a great thing. I don't want to give away too much, but like, here's another great thing that they do. There's one song that what they do to close, they'll do like two sets. And they'll do an intermission in the middle, and they'll close the first set by playing one of their songs backwards. They play and sing it backwards, and they do things backwards. And then they tape this or record it. And then they open the next set by playing the reversed thing of that. And it's like kind of crazy, because it's like, it really sounds like that song.
Right.
Like and I'm like, of course, me, I'm kind of like, well, just play the damn song. but I think it's something where it's like, it's a very challenging song. So they said they wanted to make it even more challenging and make it weirder. But it's funny, because like Flood, it's like, when I remember listening to it as a kid, and like even after, it's like, I'm not going to say like, I love every single song on Flood. But with a band like this, it's like, you go to these shows and they play an album, and you're still singing along to that song too. You know, it's like, it's so deeply ingrained that it's
Don't you think if an album, you get an album and you like 3 or 4 songs on the album, that's a successful album?
That's a great album. Oh my God. I think writing one song that's good is like very incredible. Like a really good song that you can really stick with. But to do it, I mean, and there's I would say that for a big part of maybe their most recent discography, I would say that's what they're hitting, about 3 to 4.
Okay.
But that's really
that's amazing.
Good. And
that's
also
amazing.
I also someone else that they're one of those bands that's also like Fish in a way. I mean, I don't want it. They're not like Fish at all, really, but they are, because they have this, and Fish is way, way bigger, but like they have this, like this vernacular, they have a very committed crowd that comes. And I would say too, with the Army Giants, there are people that like this song, that song, and not those songs. And then there are other people that are like, actually, those are the best songs. Those are the songs we tolerate because their catalog is just so big and they've covered so much ground.
Right.
I do hope that people listen to this and are like, and either sort of like fall back in love with them or listen to those songs that you know, again, to remind yourself, or just discover them for the first time, because there really is something for everybody in there.
Alan, I want you to pitch your special while I let this dog outside who keeps growling at me.
I can do that. Great. Okay, guys. My album is Ran Through. It's out now on streaming. You can stream it on Prime, on Apple Music, on Spotify. If you would like me to get any money, the best way to do it is to either if you already have a subscription somewhere, to buy it on there, or you can buy it on Bandcamp. If you don't have a subscription anywhere, Bandcamp apparently is the best. It's also coming out on vinyl in February. It's from Blonde Medicine. You can go to my linktree/totallyalan, my website, alansugarwilliams.com. I have the links there. You can pre-order the vinyl. You can order it. you can just stream it too. That's cool. It's basically, it's my first album. So it's a lot of, it's kind of like a real look at what I've done since I started. There were jokes in it that I wrote 10 years ago. There are jokes that I wrote the week of the recording. But yeah, I think you guys would like it. Check it out.
Nice work.
How about that?
That was perfect. That was a beautiful Alan Strickland Williams pitch for his new album called Ran Through. And I like it. The dog has gone blind about a month ago. And
oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so is he. So are we. But at least, like, I've never had a dog before. So I was like, is it over? And everyone's like, nope, he will become like a little Roomba and he will figure it out. But sometimes he does need a little bit of help. So
I like that. That's very Yoda-like.
Right.
Have a sort of like blind, like bumping into things, little creature.
A blind chihuahua mix? Yes, very important. We have, that's...
What can we do to make this dog more nervous?
Exactly.
Let's make it blind.
I know, poor Tyson. Here, the thing about Tyson, that's Chris's dog, my mother-in-law's dog. And I wonder, where's the cat? Is the cat visible?
I see no cat.
Whatever.
Actually, I do.
There's the cat. Hi, Tigger. There's Tigger, the cat. And so she had a dog and a cat, and they're both aging, as are we all. I'm just running a hospice. This house is we're all gonna die at some point, so it's fine. You're gonna have to figure your own way back into the house, Tyson. Okay, so we have about 8 more minutes left. Is there cool. if you were to tell people what they should listen to first? Like, what's a good introductory one?
Flood is a good one. Flood is a really good one because it has what they do best, and it has some of their, if you were to go see a live show, you would see some songs from Flood for sure.
Okay.
Now let's do this. How about I'll go through this. Apollo 18, I would say listen to Narrow Your Eyes and I Palindrome I.
I Palindrome I. Hilarious. Yeah.
For Lincoln, I would say listen to Ananagna. That's the first track on Lincoln. I would say listen to The World's Address. I would say listen to Where Your Eyes Don't Go. They'll Need a Crane. They'll Need a Crane is maybe my favorite. They Might Be Giant song. I had it as my ringtone for a long time. Let's see, The Spine.
I think I remember that one, and it might be Andy's favorite.
It's a very good song. The Spine, I would say listen to Experimental Film, listen to Memo to Human Resources. It's Kicking In. It's Kicking In is a very fun song. This is their first album, They Might Be Giants, self-titled. I would say listen to Everything Right Is Wrong Again. Listen to Don't Let Start. Don't Let Start was like their first song where it's like, that's who they are. Like, Don't Let Start.
Okay.
Great, great song. Listen to that if you're going to. Flood. We talked about Flood so much, but oh my God, I didn't realize it's upside down. Let's see. You got to do Birdhouse in Your Soul. You got to do Istanbul, which is a cover. I think it was originally by the Four Gents or something like that.
But Birdhouse in My Soul is really pretty and actually really
it's
catchy.
So good.
And it's a good song. It's
a song I listen to a lot to literally remind myself that like good things are possible in this wretched world.
Yeah.
Let's see. What do we got? Oh, that's funny. You just said yeah, because on They Might Be Giant, on Mean Car, there's a song called Yeah Yeah, where they say yeah, yeah, yeah a lot. She Thinks She's Edith Head is a great song just because it references Edith Head.
Like, yes.
Give me a break. What is this? Man, It's So Loud in Here. Mean Car is kind of fun. Mean Car is like, they're like, we want to do an electro dance album for some reason. And Man, It's So Loud in Here is their They Might Be Giants version of an electro song. Oh, this is one of their newer albums, Join Us, which is really good. You probably get that, or Can't Keep Johnny Down from Side A is great. There is a great song here called When Will You Die that I think is about Trump. Okay. Not to be political, but I think it's a, I think that it's, no, it was 2011. So no, it was before
that. Well, but the thing is, he was around and irritating.
And they're from New York.
Yeah.
From New York. It can be about whoever you are to me, but it's a great, great song, a very upbeat song asking, when will you die?
Yes.
Judy Is Your Vietnam is another good one from there, which is also just a funny title. And then here, this is that Beast of Horns. This is the album
new one,
with,
right?
The new one where it's from their live shows. It opens with When Will You Die? Where's some other good ones? Oh, they did. It's a new song called Let Me Tell You About My Operation. It's like an old 20s, 30s big band thing. And the guy's telling you about his operation. Dr. Worm is a fan favorite. Dr. Worm would be a good one to listen to.
Okay.
But yeah.
I usually tell people when they pick a band to make me a list of 8 songs. You've already exceeded that.
Yeah.
I think
I could go on.
I've written down the ones that I want to. I'm definitely going to listen to Narrow Your Eyes.
Check that one out.
And I want to hear, I think They'll Need a Crane is something I've heard for sure. And Don't Let's Start for sure. And then now that you just said Dr. Worm.
You'll like Dr. Worm.
As far as I'm concerned, it's been an hour and this dog keeps barking at me. So as much as I love you.
This has been great, Jackie.
We're going to give up these last 3 minutes and I'm going to say Alan Strickland Williams. It's at Alan Strickland Williams on all the things. Alan is with an E, A-L-L-E-N. AlanStricklandWilliams.com. Ran Through is the CD. It's a Blonde Medicine who has most of my albums currently. And the vinyl's coming out any minute, right? And yep. If you February. Follow him on Instagram, you'll know things.
I'm at Totally Alan on the cursed Twitter.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There you go. And, but thank you so much for being on the show, Alan. This is super.
Thanks,
fun.
Jackie. I really appreciate it. It was really fun.
Sure. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
Hey, Adal, how was the show?
It was very fun. Alan Strickland Williams is a great comic and I love watching him. And, he actually has a new CD called Ran Through that is out and is about to come out on vinyl.
Oh, nice.
And he dorked out for the full hour, even though I think I might have cut him off a couple of minutes early because Tyson was acting up. But they might be Giants.
Oh, right. That's one of the bands that I've actually seen live once.
They Might Be Giants' brand new album, Flood. That's the only album I owned. I owned Flood.
It was a good one.
It's a good one. But I guess there's 20-ish. And right. He was very funny about, because I was like, well, didn't they go to children's music? And that's when I kind of stopped listening. He was like, I said, why did they go to children's music? He said, they had children, Jackie. And
right. right, right. And turns out.
Yeah. They were
people
like,
people start making things for their children.
Right. He was like, we're listening to so much children's music and I don't like it. So let's make some children music that I want to listen to. It's interesting that he's willing to listen to his own music, though. The two Johns who are in charge of the band.
Right, right.
Like, I don't know that I would listen to my own comedy a great deal. I don't listen to my own comedy. I wish I listened to it more.
But you don't listen to many other people's comedy either.
I know. That's what Lori made fun of me, by the way, the other day on the podcast about how now I will never watch another
another Netflix special.
Right. Because of the mama. Right. Mama Foley.
Right. Because passed. She was the one forcing you to watch other
oh my
people's
God.
Comedy.
When I walked in and there was I just walked in and I said, no Colin Quinn right now. Thank you so much. And it's not that I don't like Colin Quinn. It's just, I think the bit he was doing was something about both sides are
right.
bad. And I was like,
right.
not
you
at
can't.
This time, sir.
No.
Anyway, but They Might Be Giants. Super. Did they do a Protons or a Molecules
yes,
song?
They did.
Okay. Because he couldn't remember it. And all I could remember are the words I just said to you. Did they do a Protons Molecule song? Or are you looking it up?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Very exciting. He liked experimental film. He gave me a list of songs that he liked. Apollo 18.
Oh, you might be thinking of Particle Man.
Particle Man. That's exactly what I'm thinking of. Molecules, particles. It was Particle Man.
Particle Man. That was
he said
fun.
Something called Fingertips was really good.
Oh, I don't know that one.
I remember They'll Need a Crane. I remember that song. Don't Let's Start, he recommended.
Oh.
And something called Dr. Worm.
Dr. Worm. How many of these are the children?
He said, I don't know, but Dr. Worm sounds like a children's song, doesn't it?
Could be.
But it also could not be.
But you never know. Yeah. But they might be giants.
Hilarious. Right, right. Because they loved all the things. But it was a super fun episode. And I really like Alan Strickland Williams. And Alan is with an E, by the way. Rangers.
Alan.
Are you going to possibly go get another album just because it's fun? Of the Might Be Giants?
Me?
Ever. Yeah.
When was the last time we listened to albums?
Well, we listen to the music on the... Actually, you do a YouTube. This is what I thought about They Might Be Giants. I thought they were an early version of that band you like. Okay, Go. They're probably nothing like Okay, Go. And yet they seem like silly young men.
Yeah, I think that... I think that in that regard, I think they are probably very similar.
Yeah. Okay, goes that the video they did
they're smart and silly.
Yes, that's what made me. And Alan and I agreed that They Might Be Giants might be sort of the Greek chorus of humanity.
Oh.
Because they're constantly commenting on some very like a variety of things.
Right.
That are smart and silly, but interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so that was kind of cool.
I have favorite lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
From They Might Be Giants. I like someone put their finger in the president's ear.
He mentioned that one.
And 6 months later, they came out with Johnson's Wax.
Right. He said that was a reference because they're about our age.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a little older, but so they grew up with all of those, the same giant things that were happening in the news.
Right.
But unlike today,
yeah,
they were just sort of in the background as opposed to playing 24/7 where you might've actually gotten, but whatever it was, you got the wrong information. So you're like,
right.
Something happened.
So that was all about like, you know, that song is all about like not really understanding what's going on in the South in 1964.
Right. Right. Exactly. And then, and the Cuban Missile Crisis was in there in that same song.
Yep.
So it was kind of fascinating. So yeah, I do like They Might Be Giants. I might listen to more of them. Yes. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?